I'm mad at myself because we belong about my Savior, and I know what he's done for me, and I can sit with no tears in my eyes. Unburdened heart, hard, stiff-necked, you don't always resist the Holy Ghost. Somebody wish I was singing them sweet, pretty songs now, don't I tell you something, people, you can never make the statement that no matter what comes, come hell or high water, I'm going to rejoice until you start out with a burden on your heart. There's no way to have a victorious and a rejoicing heart unless the heart has been broken. There's no way to know joy until you've known sorrow. I pray the day that I step foot in the gates of heaven and walk with my new body on the streets of gold, I'm going to be joyful and happy because I've known what it is not to walk. You've got to have sorrow before you have joy. I get tired of these charismatic flop doodle, honey sucking, dripping, sweet, kissy, huggy. I can't stand them. I get tired of them. It's not the time to wear a crown. It's the time to bear a cross. The abundant life. What do you know about it? You think it's cars? Think it's land? You think it's hell? As near as I can tell, life is the breath of God. And as near as I can tell, the breath of God must be the Word of God. It must be Jesus God. That's what it is. A burden. Unburdened heart. You take old Hannah. Hannah didn't have the joy and prophesy all those things and get down there in sweet relief and joy before God until she got down and prayed in the bitterness of her soul. Habakkuk here begins to cry and said, Lord, why dost thou show me violence? The law is flat. Judgment never goes forward. Violence is continually before me. He's a bitter man. One time in my life, and I guess you all have to get some things settled. When I was 12 years old, excuse me for using me, but I don't know anybody as good as I know me, and I'm not too sure about how well I know me. But one time as a young man in my life, when I'd come back from somewhere, I don't know, maybe a sandlot baseball game or football or something, and I come back in there and I went into the bathroom of our home and I stood in front of the mirror and tears began to roll off my face and I looked in that mirror and I shook my face and I said, God, why? Why did you make me like this? Why? The Lord just come down and put his arms around me. Brother, I know why the Lord touched the leper. I know why. Because he bore our sorrow and our grief. And with his stripes, we are healed. You touch a leper, you're going to get leper. I don't want it. He took the leprosy. The Lord said, Rex, I know what it is. Lord, I don't ever remember you walking on crutches in the Bible. He said, no, but I touched it. And I said, arise, take up thy bed and walk. You wonder why I don't have much patience with some of you people? Because you can talk. You can hear. You can walk. And you sit back on your lazy butt and do nothing for God. See, I don't like that. I don't like you. With the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said, before he ever sat down in the seat of David, he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. You've got to have a broken, burdened, contrite spirit and heart before you ever have joy. You men in the ministry, I run into them from the nut down the road here. Excuse me, but it's what it is. He's a Wichita lineman. A lineman for the county. Telephone man. Got him at church. Come in there and says, "You're not a New Testament evangelist." I said, "What else is missing?" Amen. Who cares? I don't care what I am. I'm just trying to do what I'm supposed to do. And I want to be what I'm supposed to be. That's all. I never been what I'm supposed to be. I've never done what I'm supposed to do. My whole cotton picking life, that's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to do any great things for God. Just want to be what God wants me to be. I said, "What? What do you mean?" "Well, you're supposed to go around and start churches, and you're supposed to stay and help these little churches out for a couple of months or so." "Oh, okay." I said, "Where's that?" He said, "Well, Paul." I said, "Well, Paul is kind of a special case, you know. And a little different, you know." So I let it go. And come to find out, what he wanted was he wanted me to stay there and play piano for a couple months and help him out. Now, he might be in here this morning. I don't know. He's fine with me if he is. I don't care. Make me any difference. I swing a crutch real good. And been on 32 years, you know how to handle them. And finally, that's what he wanted. And he wanted me to do some visitation for him because he didn't have time to do it because he's a lineman for the county. And you say, "Well, maybe you have to." Brethren. I was there on Sunday morning. Sunday morning. They took up one offering. Took up a love offering for me, $450 love offering after a big. You don't have to. The problem is, not burdened. So I waited a little while and I said, "Well, brother, maybe you're right." I said, then you believe that an evangelist has authority over the local pastor, right?" "So where do you get that?" I said, "Well, Apostle Paul." "Well, Paul's a special case, but thank you." I might be a Kansas small town farm boy, but I ain't stupid. I'll tell you something, the Bible, Jesus Christ got out there and he said, "Listen, the only way you can know the joy and the closeness to your Savior," he said, "come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." You can't know rest until you know turmoil, until you know the bitterness and the fighting down in that heart. You'll never know the joy. Why is it that in some churches a man will come down and be saved and the people say, "Amen, glory to God, hallelujah." And in some churches they come down and the preacher says, "All right, all those in favor say amen." Why? Because one group of people are burdened for lost souls. They wept for them. They worked for them. They've been bitter of heart for them. And the other group could care less whether they die and go to heaven. God help you if there isn't something that wells up inside when a little boy or an old man or a woman comes down and receives the Lord Jesus Christ. There ought to be a shout of victory in the heart. You're cold and you're hard-hearted. The psalmist said, "Cast thy burden on the Lord, he shall sustain thee. He'll not suffer the righteous to be moved." David had a burden and poured out his burden in Psalm 51. Then he said, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." Paul, Apostle Paul, had a life of perils and turmoil and strife. I often wonder about that, brethren. Bible said he's supposed to be an example to those who follow us. I can't find any example. I can't find any followers. Often wonder. Perils of mine own country. Where is that? You know, I've been doing a little thing in the Bible. I don't know. Maybe I'm just messed up and cockeyed or something, but I read in the Bible where it says in Acts chapter 11 that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. They didn't say they were Christians. We live in the day and age of the lapel decorator. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know what you said about the moral majority, brother, but I'll tell you right now, there isn't one. You say, what are you little squirt taking on? I ain't taking on nobody. I'm just telling you the truth. Moral majority. The idea of calling somebody moral majority, you go in there and try to legislate morality when your people are watching homosexuality, watching adultery, watching fornication, watching filthy communication. What are you talking about? They're not a moral majority. The Christians of all of the earth have lost their favor and they're not fit for a dunghill. You do know what a dunghill is, don't you? Paul said, for what is our hope or our joy are not even ye in the presence of Jesus Christ that is coming, for ye are our glory and joy. Paul sorrowed continually in his heart, he said, for his brethren. Paul said, I could wish myself a curse that Israel might be saved. But one day Paul will have the joy when Jesus Christ comes to be admired in all his saints. He'll have the joy of seeing all the converts gathered round the throne. I'm waiting for that. Boy, I'm not waiting for that. Boy, I'd like to go. I've been in some of your churches. I told you, I tell it everywhere. God knows I mean it, and he knows how I mean it. I might not be able to explain it to you, but I'm just here under protest. I'm here under protest. I want to tell you that. I'd much rather be home. I'm not talking about a 26-foot mansion out there. I'm talking about the one up there. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, get in the refrigerator and turn around, bump into the table. Not going to do it up there. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God, boy. Amen. What your problem is? Lots of problems. That man vexed his righteous soul in seeing and hearing day by day. You put that stuff in front of your face. Whether it's a television, or whether it's a billboard, or whether it's a magazine, or a newspaper, make no difference. You put it in front of your face, and one too many times, it hasn't bothered you, and the conscience is seared. When I sense that my conscience begins to be seared, I say, God, if all you leave me is a conscience the size of a peanut, slice away so you can get down where I can feel. I get tired of it. Well, now, Brother Harrison, if I'm convicted about it, then I'll do it. Shut your filthy mouth. You hypocrite. You ought to love Jesus Christ just to do right whether you feel like doing right or are convicted about doing right. It don't make any difference. Amen. Unburdened hearts. We have unburdened hearts for the Bible. We're Bible believers. I'm a Bible believer. I believe the Bible. So, who cares? Where's that going to get you? I guarantee you a room this size, 50% of you people out there, if you were asked to stand up and give 6 verses on eternal security or write 5 things you had in heaven, you couldn't do it. Bible believers, get your living Bible and walk like you talk. Amen, Brother Harrison. Thank you very much. That's good preaching. Sick and tired of these Bible believers. I know what a Bible believer is. Not a King James Bible, the Word of God. What guy that had any sense wouldn't know that before the famous man. Amen.
Not everything I got's original. Say, all you guys down there, you all talk alike, you all preach alike. Yeah, and I can smell a Springfield prissy 10 miles away. Amen, amen, amen. I know Brother Marvin went there, it didn't take. Unburdened heart for the Bible. You know, there was a fellow in Russia who had one milk cow. Go ahead. That was a religion. And he sold that milk cow because there was a copy of a Bible made available to him, and it cost him what he sold that milk cow for. Brother Smith going to China. They don't have a Bible in China. They have a RV and a Good News and a Living Bible. There are missionaries over there from the BBF that are over there. They don't care. They've been there for years. They don't care whether they've got a Bible or not. So I don't think y'all name names. I don't care what you think. Come, I read my Bible, they're always naming names. Don't criticize. No, I'll do it like some of them do. That madman down in Florida, but I'm not going to tell you his name.
They don't care. You know now. I told you. They don't have a Bible in Chinese.
What you going to do about it? Nothing. You don't care. You got your 6 Bibles and your wide margins, and you got all this. You don't care. You got your. One lady in Kenya, Africa, got up one time after they'd been through a famine out there, and I read this on a missionary letter. They'd been through a thing with no food for a while, and they did an airlift and dropped some stuff in, and they dropped it in on Saturday. It was to be distributed on Sunday morning. And the missionary said, I went to my church expecting that there would be, you know, nobody there. And I got there, he said, nobody was missing. He said, I cried, began to ask, he said, why? Why aren't you people down there getting food for your kids and your family? And one lady stood up with 7 kids and no husband. Said, Pastor, we need food for our souls more than for our bodies. God will take care of us. I don't know who it was the other day we went down on the streets, and I don't know who you are, so I ain't picking on nobody. We went down on the streets, and my wife said, want to go? And I said, we're going now. We're running late. We're going now. She said, well, what about lunch? I said, if you're going to go, go. If you're going to go eat, eat. So, well, there's some ladies want to go. I said, well, if they're going to go, they're going to have to go and forget about their belly. Say, that's hard. I can't help it. It's the way I am. You come up like I came up and you spend your life in the bars, that's how you get. I can't help it. Oh. I don't know how many there were, but only one other lady went. Unburdened heart. Whose God is rebellious. Well, that's an American burden. That's it, right there. That's it, right there. I'm only on the first point. God help me. No burden about the book. I said it, and now that Dr. Ruckman's here, I'm going to say it in his presence. Because I don't care. But if we'd get him up here without a fight, I had Jack Hiles and Dr. Ruckman and Falwell on the platform, and I had me a little Chinese man over here that had just lived and lost his job and his health and his family and only had one page of God's Word to live with for 40 years. You know who I'd want to hear?
Amen.
Yes. I love you, brother, but I want to hear him. Georgie Finn's daughter said it's much easier to love God in Russia than it is in America. Amen. I can't kick myself. So I just crack myself every once in a while. I get so mad at myself, nobody can live with me. My poor wife, God love her and help her. I get so mad at this stuff, I'm just unbearable. Amen. But I'm tired of it.
The Word of God. They're going to take it. The lights are going to go out, and they're going to take it. I don't care how much you publish it, how much you do this and that, they're going to take it. They're going to do your faith. They're going to give you a blessing. They're going to supply your needs. They're going to take your body. And you can throw your heart and love stories in the trash. And your teen magazines in the trash. And how to cope with this in the trash. And the four temperaments. And, you know, all the rest of that junk. Amen, amen. Amen, 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 amen.
Go out $4.95, $6.95, $7.95. How to cope with this? How to cope with that? Read your Bible. Yeah. Thou wilt teach them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Yeah. What's the matter with you? God's going to do you a favor. He's going to close down McDonald's and Burger King and all your restaurants. He's going to take your food. I hope he does. You say, boom. Amen.
We need it.
We need it.
American. 4 hours. I'm sorry.
You're not starving. You're trained to think like that.
Right. Some of you in here could go 2 weeks, wouldn't bother you a bit. God help me. Sorry, honey, I don't know where the white one is. Then there's no burden. And I've got to hurry on this point, brother, because I got that last point I want to get to. I may have to skip some things, but there's no burden for prayer. We have our clipboard, prospect, card, religion. He's a good prospect. She's not a good prospect. He's a bad prospect. We need a bass player in the band.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What happens to the burden for the soul?
Always conniving. Always conniving. Got our little clipboard religion. To hell with a clipboard religion. I don't appreciate you saying it. I don't appreciate your clipboard. Burden for prayer. Who needs to pray? I mean, we got all our commentaries. All our sermon illustration books, all our little outlines. We can think good. We know how to speak well. Who needs to pray? All we have to do is put on a little show and everybody comes. Mile-long hot dog and a hamburger and some candy and some candy bars. That's all we got to do. After all, I'm a Bible believer, but didn't you know that the power of God, the gospel, the power of God, the salvation, that's our case.
Amen.
Why? Amen. I like the way my Lord's been lifted up.
Amen.
I like it.
Amen.
I like it.
Amen.
I need it. That was a shock. We don't need to pray. Who needs to get a hold of God?
Amen.
You do.
Yeah,
you do. I'm not going to dwell much more on that, except to tell you what Martin Luther said. He said, I give the best 3 hours of my day to prayer. What do you give? Come midnight, been fellowshipping with the brethren all day long, been doing this and that all day long. Wouldn't that be something? You got up to glory and found out we've had real good fellowship with the brethren all week long, and the Lord was, hey. Lord, I want to thank you tonight in front of this town. Don't look at me like that. I'm not the only one that does that. I got that, did that one time. Got down on my knees to pray. It was late. Now I got down and started praying. I woke up a couple hours. I was so sorry, God. He said, "That's all right. You're pulling me."
Amen. Some of you haven't spent an hour in prayer in the last week. Don't stand up and lie to God and sing "Sweet Hour of Prayer," you whitewashed, lying, pharisaical hypocrite. How long has it been since you've been in the presence of your Lord and Savior? When I started out, everybody thought I was mad or something because I always pulled my family away at 9 o'clock.
I said, "You're going to bed, we're going to have Bible study, we're going to pray and read together, and I don't care about the rest of them, they can fellowship all night long, but we got to get a hold of God."
Amen.
Now I quit doing that. I told my wife today, I said, I'm going to do it again. I don't care what people think. I want to know what God thinks about me. I need to get in the presence of a holy God. If some of you turn off that damn television, you could get in the presence of God. Some of you throw down your newspapers and your magazines and your books, you could get in the presence of God. It cost Him His blood to open up the Holy of Holies so you could go in. I say it respectfully, but it's the best show in town. How can you ever expect to do the big things when it's the little things that are tripping you up? When I walk along life's pathway, it's not the big boulders. It's not the mountains. It's not the deep pits that bother me. It's those little roots that just grow over the ground about that high. And I stub my toe and I fall. Christian, just the little things. How can you start a day in this sinful world without getting a hold of God and getting the power and the grace and the strength and the wisdom you need?
Amen.
Are you self-sufficient? Paul said, "My sufficiency is of God."
Amen. Burden for the family. What's wrong in this country? Loud mouth, bossy women. Thank you, sister. I don't care. Mealy mouth, weak knee. My God, I got on him. I can't say what I'd like to say. I like what Jack Wood said. He said he had a fellow down there in his church, 260 pounds. He said he'd serve God if his wife had let him. You know, I had to come to balance on this now because I get over off on the other way too far. I ain't careful. And a false balance and abomination to God, but my wife understands. She's sitting here. She understands what I'm about to say. But by God's grace, I want to go on for God. And I want to do and be what God wants me to be and do. And I want my wife to come with me. But bless God, if she don't, I got to go on.
Amen.
Some of you idiots, and some of you in here, and I know who you are. You know I know who you are. You read that stuff in Timothy and Titus, and your wife runs your ministry.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, brother.
I'm not going to go over. You all know how it is. You all keep trying to justify your sins and everything else. Wisdom and knows how to keep her mouth shut.
Amen.
Now all you ladies want to turn your music tape back and get your money back, don't you? You say, how can you preach like that? Because I married me an Alabama tiger, and brother, I've been through it. Sometimes I tell my daughter, you sit down, get your Bible, and study to be quiet. This is bad with the men. I mean, you're living in the day and age when men are women, women are men, boys are girls, and girls are boys. Most gossiping people I've ever seen in my life outside of two old ladies is preachers. Evangelist comes into town, my God. Some of you just keep your cotton-picking mouth shut. Some of you do. Some of you are a real blessing. Backbite this guy and gossip about that guy and backbite to who cares? You know how to stop that, people? You haven't got the guts to do it. But the Bible says an angry countenance. People start backbiting just... God help us to have mothers who know how to teach their daughters to be young ladies.
Amen.
They want to dress them like boys.
Amen.
You ever notice how the young ladies in this day and age are beginning to talk like boys?
Amen.
And walk like boys?
Yes, sir.
And act like boys? Do you know what the little boys are beginning to talk and walk and act like?
Amen. Come on!
They said the clothes doesn't make the man. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Then you husband, what a sorry, rotten mess you are.
I don't understand. My wife don't want to serve God and follow me.
That's because one week you're going here, and the next week you're going there, and the next week you're going here, and this week you don't know what you're going.
Amen.
Who wants to follow somebody like that?
Amen.
Amen. Weep and cry on my shoulder. I went through it and got down on my face before God and said, God, my wife ain't doing right. God said, neither are you. Shut up.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm the head. I'm the boss.
Should you? I learned a lesson. It's a hard one to learn, though. You know, sometimes my Savior kind of winks or turns his head. Sometimes. You say, I don't believe that. You go home and check it out with God. He does. I pulled a dirty trick on my wife one time. I hate to tell you all this and mix company, but I did. She was being a little mean and mad and upset. Not too bad, but I had to sleep in the bed in the truck. I said, it's a rooftop, but if you get on top of my roof, you fall down in, so I couldn't do that. And I went out and talked to God about it. You know what the Lord told me? He's strange. I mean, you so many people don't know him, you think that's irreverent, but I'm telling you, God is weird. If you think Doc is weird, you should see the one that made him. God said, hey, you've been treating me pretty bad, haven't you? I said, yeah, but Lord, that's not the subject at hand. So I know we tabled that since the last time we had our meeting. Now we're bringing it back. No. And I got things right with God, and the Lord said, you know what I do to you? He said, I give you blessings every once in a while, don't I? No matter how you treat me.
Amen.
Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. I said, what do you mean, Lord? I knew what he meant. So I made me a trip to the flower shop. I don't understand women. I understand what it is about something that stinks and, you know, gives you hay fever and everything else. I don't understand. I don't understand them.
Amen,
woman got kicked out of the garden, been trying to get back in it ever since. Listen, the reason I got on a health food diet was to see if we could put some of them things to use. So I went and I bought her a big, whatever it is, bouquet, whatever it is. Pretty little thing. Wasn't worth the $20 I spent, but you know. And I took it in there and I set it on the table and I left because I could, you know how sometimes you can feel the spirits in the air. Not only could I have cut the spirits with the knife, my wife had a knife in her hand. And in a little trailer, you can't swing across. So I left. But I'm going to get there in a minute. I'm working. And I'll come back in later when I'm afraid. Come back in later. I said, thanks for the flowers. How come you're bawling? Is that right, Miss Eric?
Yeah.
I said, because I love you. You want to trick a woman up? They don't. Women do not understand how to love when you're not getting along. I said, I love you. He said, I've been treating you mean and bad. And I said, well, I mean, I love you. I don't care how you treat me. I know that kicks your pride, Steve, but it's good. But you know what the Lord said? I love you.
I
don't care how you treat me. I don't care how you treat me. You want to kick dirt in my face and be disobedient? I love you. And here I just want to give you a little rope. Half of you guys' problem is you don't praise your wife enough. You're so busy being the boss, you think that you're a line inspector. How's your wife ever going to grow if you don't leave her to the Holy Spirit once in a while? You want to do it with my daughter? I'll whip her. I spank. She's getting older. They're coming fewer. But they get to you kids, it's been a while. But sometimes when she's doing wrong, I don't spank her. You say, why? Because that's how God does me. Sometimes I just don't talk with him. You say, me? No, I want to know what it is to be out of fellowship. You say, why? Because I grew up in a Christian home, was raised on the Bible, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, drunk in a bar in Los Angeles, I knew more Bible than most people do in this room. But
I never knew what it was to be out of fellowship with God. You think I want her to run out on God? Not me. I thank God for Chief to get saved and stick with it. Brother Cargill, a friend of mine down there in Maryland, he says there are mighty men and there are men of war. He said, I'm a man of war. He said, I'm not a mighty man. And I haven't checked it all out, but he says a mighty man is one who's never tainted himself. Well, and I'm a man of war, but I'm not mighty. Family. Husband, should his wife submit, husband's love, children obey. Kids, if you're saved, I don't care how old or young you are, you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and answer that verse. I don't care if you're 14, 15, you 15, 16-year-old kid, you think you know everything. You know why? Because you think there's only two questions. That's why you think you've got all the answers. You don't know what the questions are. You better be obedient. Let's move on. No burden, unburdened hearts. The brothers in the Lord. You know what Paul said or Peter said in his epistle? Above all, have fervent charity for the brethren. Unfeigned charity for the brethren. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one to another. We don't have unfeigned charity toward the brethren. We help each other out. We do this and we do that, but it's not a charity. There's no old-fashioned love for one another among God's people. What's happened? I got a book now 200 years old, and the title of it is Mammon, or Covetousness, the Sin of the Church. Amen. You get before the throne of God and could look down from the throne of God as our brothers and sisters come in prayer, you'd hear a mess. You'd hear everybody concerned with their own little world and their own little need and not concerned with the needs of others. Unburdened, cold, hard-hearted hearts. You know why you gripe and complain and moan and groan and why you're not satisfied and why you're not content? Because you dwell on your own needs, on your own problems, and you don't bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Amen.
If they don't believe like you, or think like you, or do like you, oh, how you doing, brother? Oh, hard ain't it? Unburdened hearts. Unburdened hearts for the lost. We've heard enough about that this week. I really can't add to it. There's an old Methodist hymn said, if men go to hell, who cares? While the world rushes on in folly and sin, to go where demons reign within, if men go to hell, who cares? You care? I mean, is it just another tag, another number, another card? Or do you really care? I love missionaries. We support them. But I'm going to tell you something. I think about 80% of the missionaries on the field probably are not doing anything.
from the reports I'm getting. Why? Unburdened heart. But you whitewashed Pharisees, what are you doing? I got two little nieces in Alabama supposed to be saved, whose daddy is lost and gone to hell. Those little girls spend an hour and a half in front of a mirror fixing their hair before they go to school, but I know they don't spend 5 minutes in prayer for their daddy. Unburdened heart. And I'm sick and tired of people in a prayer meeting. Hey, pastor, pray for my son. When you won't lift a finger for some other mother's son on the streets and highways and byways of life. Shut your filthy, lying, hypocritical mouth and keep your prayer request to yourself. In the 13 years that I ran from God and was a drunkard in the bar, do you know how many people asked me about my soul? One drunk lady in a bar. I don't know if it was a little maid being sent in or what. But she walked up to me on break, and there I was with my drink, and there she was with hers. He said, "Are you a Christian?" My God. I said, "Well, yeah, but I'm just believe personal." She said, "I've lost some." I said, "Are you?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "Couldn't be. Oh, you hypocritical jackass.
Yeah.
Hey, perverted nuts." She said, "I thought so. The way you sang the blues, I thought you were a Christian." Of course, nowadays, see, I mean, that'd be right. That'd fit. We'll get to that in a minute. Of course, they don't kick me off first. I know I'm long-winded. God help me. I'm just trying, but I've got to get this off. I've got to get it off, people. I'm Brother Keck, I'm not trying now. Brother, I'm trying to do right here. One other person, I walked to Tony's on the pier in Redondo Beach, California. And who did I meet? But a Jesus priest. Laugh if you want to. But I had the guts to walk up to me on my way to sing the devil's song for 4.5 hours and say, "Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior?" You say, "Talk in tongues." Well, who cares? No Baptist that didn't ever ask me.
Amen.
You know what I think would be funny? I think it'd be just hilarious if God takes some Baptist bride or sits him up there and he has to wait on some charismatic. Amen. I don't agree with their doctrine. They're nuttier than a fruitcake. Some of them love God a lot more than you do. See, you think it's all doctrine. I think it's important to be sound in doctrine. But I got news for you. After traveling this country and being with some of you guys, I've seen God use fellows that are just as screwed up and fouled up as that Chinese cookie I had last night. Because they love God. It wasn't the Baptist God took and turned the nation of England around. When you sing "And Can It Be," who do you suppose wrote that? I'm with Brother Newton. You don't have to have me. I don't care. God didn't call me to get meetings. Amen. I'm saved. And I'm a Bible believer.
I don't know whether I'm putting man or Baptist next, but one of them. That's all a lot of blood shed for that name. Told me that California. I said, then they shed it for the wrong name. You don't talk like a Baptist. I'm Baptist,
but I'm tired of a sectarian creedal spirit. You know what happened? They've all gone by the wayside. I know that. And the Baptists think they're the only ones left that are standing for the faith. And my friend, you're standing for the faith on rubber crutches. The Baptists are as full of hell as anybody.
There might even be some Bible believers in hell. You don't like that. And he said, Sam Jones, how come you never preach on the Catholics? He said, because when I get done with the Methodists, it's time to go to bed. Amen.
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 No burden. Cold. Hard-hearted. You can listen to somebody make a joke about Jesus Christ, and it doesn't do what it used to do. You can sit in the company of people when they take your Savior's name and use it in vain, and it don't do what it used to do.
A heart, cold heart. And let me quickly give you these other points. I'll not preach but say a thing about them, and I'm going to get to the last one and quit. And there's more I could say. But in 2 Timothy, you needn't turn there, but turn to 1 Kings chapter 20. Not only are there unburdened hearts, but there are entangled lives. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. As I travel across the country, I see Christians whose lives are entangled and choked with the cares of this world. In 1 Kings 20, there's a story, and we'll only read two verses. In 38, it said, so the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way, and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed by, cried to the king, and he said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me, and said, keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself hath decided it. Listen, God has given you a race to run. God has given you things to hold on to. And you've been busy here and busy there. I wrote in the margin of my Bible, much ado about nothing. And that's what's going on in the lives of Christians. Much ado about nothing. About the time you're trying to do something for God, you're running over here and you're running over there, and you got to do this, you got to get up and get that. You're entangled with the affairs of this life. You can't wield your weapon, because when you try to draw it, the cares of this world, like weeds and seaweed, have choked your arm. You can't draw a sword.
Amen.
You can't shout glory, hallelujah, praise to the Lamb, because your shouter's been choked with the cares and the sin of this world.
Amen.
Entangled lives. When Gehazi went back there and took of the goods that Naaman had, he came back and Elijah said, where'd you go? He said, I went nowhither. Elijah said, you're a dirty, rotten liar. My heart went with you. Gehazi, is it a time to receive gold and silver and olive yours and vineyards and maidservants and hand servants? And I ask you today, is it a time to receive all that? My inheritance, bless God, if I get any, will be in the millennium.
Amen.
And in glory.
Amen.
Who cares about this man?
Amen.
We go down the road, my wife says, oh, what a beautiful home. And in all my loving compassion, I say, it's going to burn.
Amen.
I don't care. a bad attitude about that stuff. I don't care about this world. It's the biggest cotton picking hell hole I ever seen. It does me no good. It chokes me. It takes my eyes off of Jesus Christ. Entangled. Some of you aren't fighting because you're entangled with the affairs of this life. I'm not saying anymore. I got to hurry. But I want to tell you something, people. You're entangled. I tell you, it isn't the big things. It isn't the house payment. It's the stereo payment. It's the TV payment. It's this payment. It's that payment. That's what makes you go bankrupt. It's not the big things. It's all the little things. Much ado about nothing. Not only that, then turn to Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going past the can. I'm just new in the business. I'll learn. Give me help. Pray for me. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, the Lord said, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." I hear all this talk about Pharisees and legalists. Shut your filthy mouth till you know what they are. Some of you think if a man got up and preached that a woman shouldn't dress like a whore and wear them shorts and pants, he's a legalist. You're a flat-footed liar and don't even know what the word means. Amen. Thank you, Brother Harris. I just read in my Bible where it said that no flesh shall glory in His presence, and the more flesh it shows, I figure the less that God gets glory.
Amen.
Amen. Stain from all appearance of evil. I tried to get through without saying it. Four men have skirted the issue, wouldn't even say it. I don't believe like that. I don't care what you believe. Got an article from Boston. Three cocktail waitresses fired because they refused to wear shorts at work. You know what three cocktail waitresses who served the devil's brew said? It invites sexual advances. What's the matter with you Christian women? You got any guts to be different?
Yes.
No, you just want to sit around and justify your hellishness.
Yes.
Amen, amen. Brother, you can go back. You invited me back next year, but you don't have to. I don't care. The day is gone when people can see an outward changed life. And I'll tell you something, Christian. The most power that a child of God ever had over the world was when he had nothing to do with the world. You get a saved, born-again child of God that wants to be different, look different, talk different, laugh different, walk different. And a lost man will look at that and say, "He ain't got what I got. He don't need what I need. But he's got joy. I want some of that."
They of the church and they of the world walk closely hand in heart, and none but the Master who knoweth all could tell the two of them.
You can walk naked as Isaiah and go to heaven. I don't care how you dress. But I'm going to preach it.
Slits up the side, down the middle, around the back. What the hell do you think some of you people are doing? I'll tell you, when God pulled me out of that mud hole and that hell hole, I couldn't say like Paul, "I did it in ignorance." I knew what I was doing. I owe everything to God. I'm thankful to God the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, brother. I'm thankful. Because he didn't have to. He's going to let me wallow in that pit. He said he killed you. I ain't worth that much.
Amen.
Why, some of you think God will kill everybody if they get out of the will of God because you think you're worth more than you're worth.
Amen.
But I tell you, I said, "My God, I want to be different." And I get out and I see Christian men and Christian women who look and act like the same hussies and dirty-legged whores I saw in the bars. I say, "My God, what is wrong? What is wrong?" Yes, you've been called to liberty. Only use not liberty as an occasion for the flesh.
Amen.
but by love. Serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I see wandering feet all across this country. Wandering feet. Feet who will not walk the path God has given them to trod. And I'll just say this and move on. I can't remember the king's name. I don't believe it was Asa. I don't remember who it was, but it said in his old age he was diseased in his feet. And you know the problem with some of you Christians been saved for years and years and years. You sat on your hind end and kept your feet in the same place and they got fungus all over them. You're diseased in your feet. Psalmist said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. And if you begin to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, pretty soon you'll be like Peter and stand without at the door. Stand in the way of the sinner, and pretty soon you'll be as Peter and sit in the seat of the scornful. I like that song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. But I'll tell you something, people, down inside of me is something that is prone to wonder. Prone to leave the God I love. You say, not me, preacher! And I don't think you're saved. I tell you, there's a battle that rages inside my heart. It just rages, and there's part of me that says, quit and go fishing! Because I love to fish. You know why I try to preach as hard as I can? So maybe I can get some more time to fish. You think I'm kidding, don't you? Ask my wife. Then I want you to turn to Colossians 3. We got to hurry because there's only a couple more. Colossians 3. I don't wear a watch. I have a calendar. Brother, you need to put me on last next year. If anybody needs to go, they can go. Colossians 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. I see a downward look, downward eyes, a downward heart. I see Christians all across this country who don't love heaven anymore, don't love Jesus Christ, don't want to go home. I've been sick for 2 weeks. I've been upset and down. I thought it was my diet. I thought it was because I was tired. But brethren, I remembered what McGahee said one time, and the other day I said, that's it, God. It's contagious. I picked it up. I've been homesick. And I preach on heaven all over and sing songs about heaven. And people sit there. Nice little ditty he sang today. But it don't mean nothing to you. Bless God. Maybe God stick you down in a polio ward where there's supposed to be 4 kids and there's 12. And when you're 5 years old, you see your friends die, drop dead. Drop dead! Drop dead! I ain't never been to war with guns, but I've been to battle with disease. And I've seen people drop and drop and drop. And I watched a lady in a nursing home as she died. I was there when that old cancer had eaten away in her brain. And she died, and I've seen it. And I'll tell you, I'm tired of this God-forsaken, hellish old world. My affection's got to be upward, because there's nothing down here. Bible said, love not the world, neither the things. The Bible said the passion of this world passeth away. Now I'm going to stretch that a little bit, but you know what? There's missionaries all over who do love God, who do have a burden, who do want to go, and it takes them a year and a half and 2 years to get their support. For some of you people, got to have Calvin Klein and O.P. and Jordash and the rest of the godless crap. My clothier is Kmart and Goodwill.
Who the hell cares what you've got on as long as you're covered up? And our kids don't know how to give. Because we put them in front of those damnable demon machines. Drop a token and drop a quarter and grab a hold. And the Bible said that Lucifer, that means a light bearer. And they watch those flashing lights come out of that darkness. One girl here in New York died of a cerebral hemorrhage. Because while she's playing that thing, going thump, 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 and the lights were flashing at a different pulse, it caused a cerebral hemorrhage to die. That's stuff with the devil, people.
Right.
That's
training a race of kids who will be pacifists and make mass murders without blinking an eye.
Right.
Give to a missionary, teach a child to be burdened about souls. Oh no, but let's get it down.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Brother Harrison. Sir, glad you preached that, brother. That is good preaching. Amen.
A downward look. A downward look. And then I see. And turn with me, and this is the last. You say, thank God. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 30. What a passage in the Bible. Ezekiel 33, 30. In Ezekiel 33, God has talked about the watchman, the warning of the blood, the warning of the wicked to come, the warning of judgment, and the people say the way of the Lord is not equal. The Lord said, I'll judge you after your ways. And verse 30 says, also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. And Paul said, they keep to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they come unto thee, and watch this, as the people cometh. And they sit before thee as my people. I don't know who they are, but they're a bunch of phonies. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. They're self-gratifying liars. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song. Oh, Brother Harrison, sing for them. One that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. I see across this nation an entertainment mentality. An entertainment mentality. You know why some of you will listen? Because I'll stop and spit, throw a question, pass out a joke. But if I didn't do that, you wouldn't listen. I could preach for 5 hours and you'd listen. How? I preach 15 minutes and put on a puppet show. Preach another 15 minutes and get a rock group. Preach another 15 minutes and have somebody do a little act. Preach another 15 minutes, sing a pretty song. But I ain't going to do it. Entertainment mentality. All right, Brother Harrison, we're not going to tell you how pretty you sing anymore. Good. Good. If you get a blessing out of it, praise God, leave me alone. You don't understand that.
because you want to be praised for everything you do. If you don't understand that statement, you don't understand how the flesh works. One preacher said, "Well, you come, you don't even have to preach, you just entertain our people." Well, I preached anyway right at that time. We got this, "Put another nickel in the nickel, all I ever want to hear is music, music, music." That's the kind of mentality we got. Don't you ever call it entertainment. The only time entertainment shows up is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1 or 2, I forget which, and it's talking about entertaining strangers, and that ain't television, rock and roll, country, western, jazz, or gospel music. That is giving them some food and a place to sleep. Entertainment, not a Christian word. Not in the sense we use. All we want is entertainment. Back there in Exodus 32, Moses, the type of Christ, has been up on the mount, a type of Christ. He hasn't come back for a long time, a type of Christ. Aaron comes and the people come to Ogre and say, "Well, the guy that brought us out, we don't know where he is. Well, he's supposed to be coming back one day, but we don't know where he is, but he's supposed to be coming." I'll tell you what, tomorrow's the 25th, and we'll just put some Christ back in bailment, and we'll have us a whole big thing here. Amen. I know you don't like that, but it's the truth. I got more proof than you do. I can back it up. Don't give me all your justification for it. Amen. They got this as a feast day to the Lord. You want to bet? Feast day to the Lord? What are you doing half naked? What are you doing dancing around a golden calf? Feast day to the Lord? Liar. Feast day to the Lord? You got to be kidding. About that time he came back. We'll be in that condition when he comes back. Bet your life on it. We'll be in that condition. We'll be half naked to our shame before our enemies. We'll be dancing around our music. Listen, the Baptists today have brought in the music that they preached against 20 years. I grew up and started out in Youth for Christ, and we were doing Ted and Glory Row and all that kind of stuff then, and the furloughs and all that stuff. It's going on now in our churches. And if the southern folk down there maybe are a little guilty of putting a little rock and roll and country and hillbilly in the music, the Yankees up here are guilty of Broadway production. You're guilty. It's got to be just right. Stand just right. Hold the hand just right. Rear back, and you've got to have just the right voice. And don't miss the note. And be sure and practice a lot. And don't forget to pray 2 minutes before you sing. I know what I'm talking about. A lot of things I don't, but I do hear. I know entertainment. I see. Brother Grace is right. I don't mind him saying he's right. I don't like organizations. I agree with that. I didn't get that from Dr. Ruckman. I was like that before I went down. I'm going to drop out anyway. Amen. And I'll tell you something, people. I'm tired of this entertainment. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Say with their lips, they are on me. Their heart goes after cover. I'll go where you want me to go, but not stay. I'll do what you want me to do, but I ain't doing that. My Jesus, I love thee, but not as much as that. Get up and sing, "Have thine own way, Lord." By the time it reaches heaven, it's "Have my own way." Life. Hypocrite. Entertainment mentality. Oh, I enjoyed his preaching today. Oh, I really enjoyed that. That was good. I didn't enjoy his. Well, he preached better this year than he did last year. What did you think of the message? What did you think of God when you got done with it?
Entertainment mentality. I make it a point in my meetings, if they spend 30 minutes on the music, I make sure to double that time. You say, what about an hour and a half of the music? I got sermons long enough to cover. Tired of it. Entertainment mentality. I talked to a fella, and I'm about ready to close. I talked to a fella. He had a certain boys' home, and he was at a church, and he came in there. And now I'm not knocking to do it, but, you know, it seems like one guy does something, he's successful, so everybody thinks that's how it's going to be. And all the homes, and they send out the little singing groups, the schools, you know, here they come. Tennessee Temple, Ohio Anderson, Bob Jones, and the little girls, they got the microphone, and they got it just right. And the girls sing, and the boys are standing back there watching them. And then the girls step back, and the boys step in, and the girls watch the boys. And then they give their little outline testimonies they wrote in class.
They're not glorifying Jesus Christ. They're selling a school.